Is a little help this morning? I was telling somebody this morning that I would have thought life would get easier as I get older. You know, especially since you walk with God and you're doing your best to be obedient in the things of the Lord, you'd think that life would get easier. How many have found that's not true? Well, let me encourage you. Your hardest trials are yet ahead. Yeah, well, amen. You can go home now and have lunch. No, this morning we're in Hebrews chapter. Oh, by the way, I understand the bunkers are with us this morning. Where do we keep our bunkers at? Oh, right back there. Good morning. So good to see you again. Thanks for stopping by. Hebrews chapter 4 and around verse 14. A gentleman said, I got a call from one of my fellow teachers. She was asking for some help, needing somebody who had some expertise with animals. She said, being a science teacher, I guess I fit the bill. She said, oh, by the way, bring a net along with you. Okay. I was expecting some kind of a creature scurrying around the room, but when he got there, he was greeted by a bunch of happy children watching a hummingbird fly around the classroom. He said, well, rather than use the net, if you take some red-colored paper and put it out by an open window, the bird will eventually find that and find its way out. Left the classroom, got a call a little while later and said, boy, that trick really worked. That birds are really attracted to that red paper. Now we have two hummingbirds flying around our classroom. We're going to be talking about help this morning. Help that is actually helpful. In fact, it's divine. Now, I want to ask you a couple of serious questions here. Do you need rest? Could you use some rest? Maybe even get enough sleep, but you're not feeling rested. You don't feel secure. Do you need to learn how to relax? To use the time that you do have to be a little more refreshed. Jesus is here to help you this morning. If you're struggling with something, if you're having a difficult time, I believe the Lord wants to minister to you in a very specific way. And especially if you've been doubting God. Lord, are you real? Are you really? Do you really care about somebody like me? I believe God wants to minister to you in a very specific way. And perhaps one of the reasons you have a need, one of the reasons you're having a struggle right now, is so he could minister to that. He could put his finger right on it. One of the things we do wrong in life is we get a problem, we pray about it, it gets better, and we think, oh, well, gee, I guess I'm lucky. I guess I handled that well. You really need to come to grips with the fact you are totally incompetent. And the only good thing in life is God. And when you cry out to him, he answers you. And it would be good for you to bookmark those. You know, you're saying, God, if you're real, God, prove yourself. He is doing that each and every day. And so if you've got something going on in your life, I want you to bookmark this right now. Coming into the service, I was feeling a little wired. Coming into the service, I was struggling with this or that. Maybe even write it down. Because I believe God is going to meet you here today and moving forward through this week. And I want you to be able to also write down, and this is what happened. This is what God spoke or did in my life. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So Lord, all of us together, we come confidently right now. We need help. And we came to the right place. God, pour out, I pray, in Jesus' name, everything that's needed. And I can't imagine what the diversity of needs might be that are represented in this room this morning or are joining us online. How many of us have said, nobody understands? Well, that's wrong. You get it. That's what the Bible said right here in our text. You get it, and you got us. So, Lord, help us today. I kind of got a picture in my mind. Some people feel like they're all tangled up in seaweed. They just can't get loose. They can't breathe. They can't get to the surface again. And you are here this morning to untangle all of that and to bring them back to life. God, speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In classic style, up until this point in the book of Hebrews, the writer has been proving to us over and over again that Jesus Christ is a great high priest. He said in the beginning chapter that Jesus is greater than any of the angels. He went on from there, Jesus is greater than Moses, which was very significant when you're talking to Hebrews, when you're talking to Jews, because Moses was right there at the top. He said, well, Moses? No, Jesus is greater than that. Jesus is greater than any Levitical priest that has ever lived. He's greater than Aaron, greater than any of his descendants. In fact, Jesus is God, God of very God. And that, what all this means is we have an advocate before the throne, and his name is Jesus. So when we come into the courtroom, when we come into judgment, we've got our attorney along with us, Jesus. And being who he is, when we get into the courtroom, he actually goes right up and takes the bench. He's seated in the place of judgment. How many would like your attorney, whom you're paying, to also be the judge? He's going to argue your case, and then he's going to decide your case. Can you imagine the attorney on the other side just dropping his head? Oh, our goose just got cooked. Look who the judge is. He's representing the other side. Jesus is our faithful high priest. A high priest is one that represents God to us and us to God. So the one in the robe making the decisions is my Savior. The one in the robe making the decision, the one I will be judged by, is the one who died on the cross for me. My house is on fire. You're in the, looking out the second story window. Help, help. Fireman comes by. He puts the ladder up. He rescues you. He carries you out, you know, gives you the old airbag and everything else. Got burned a couple of times just trying to rescue your life. And then he shoots you, right? Well, no. He suffered to save you. He badly wants you saved. You get the point? The one that judges us at the end is the one that came to save us. He bled and died on the cross just that we might have life. And I know the enemy is good at what he does. He's always telling us, you don't belong, you don't deserve, you've blown it now. Lies, lies, lies. Jesus Christ, when he saves you, he's the final word. No one else can say anything other than what he has said over you. So let that sink in for a moment. I have peace with God. He loves me. He's got a place provided for me just on the other side. That ought to bring you an ocean of peace. I have peace with God. It is well with my soul. Can you just cherish that for a moment? It's all right. It's all right. God is not looking to harm me. God is working right now to bless me. All these problems I brought with me, God's got his very best working on it. They're not like the economists that Washington, D.C. is hired. God knows what he's doing. And there's nothing that you're facing right now that he does not have a solution to. If your son or daughter was struggling with something, What lengths would you go to rescue them? God is watching over, God is working on you right now. He loves you. He died for you. He would do anything on your behalf. Let that sink in. God is working on my behalf right now. Regardless of what transpires here on earth, I'm going to heaven for the rest of eternity. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. But this message isn't just about then. This message is about where you're at right now. The beginning of this chapter introduced us to a rest that is available to the people of God. God provides a rest for you that nothing else can provide. Why are we having such a drug epidemic right now? People are looking for a little bit of escape. They're looking for some rest. They're looking to forget about all of the stress and the trauma and just feel good for a few moments at the least. And I want you to know, God promises you a rest. If you don't feel rested today, I have good news for you. God promises you rest. Don't feel guilty if you don't feel, that makes you feel more stressed and less rest. But just know there's hope, okay? God has a plan. I'm going to get through this, and it's going to be good. He has good in mind for me. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So there is a rest available for you. God wants His people well rested. He wants His people full of life. I have come to give you life and life to the full, Jesus said. There are times when we're not experiencing that. But we need to get back to it. And I believe why God sent me here this morning, why we're having church this morning, is to minister rest to your life. You don't have to go home messed up. You don't have to go home all twisted and bent. God is here to straighten out all that stuff, to take that seaweed off of you so you can get back up to the surface. I believe God wants you to experience something in this house today. Your circumstances may not change at all, but He can still set you free in the middle of your circumstance. That what you were afraid of, you're not going to be afraid of ever again. What you were worried about, you'll never have to worry about again. God is able. He said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives I unto you." His peace He gives to us. He does exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. He's a good, good Father. But we have to have faith that Jesus is the way to this rest. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you prayed before and said, "Well, Pastor, nothing happened." Or pray more. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the answer you need this morning. His name is Jesus. See, it's not about me convincing you of something. It's about you experiencing Him for yourself. He's in the house. He cares about the noise going on in your brain. He cares about the issues that you've been wrestling with. He calls you by name. And He wants to set you free. He wants to give you a peace like you can't imagine. He wants to place joy in the center of your heart. Verse 14 says, We have a great high priest. Have a great high priest. Some people would say we have a great president. Some people would say we have a terrible president. But nobody would deny that we have a president, right? The Bible says we have a great high priest. That means he's doing his job very well. We have a great, you have a great, it's not just that we have a representative before God. You have a representative before God. He speaks your name before the throne. He carries your burden. As you pray, he puts it in a bowl in front of the Father. There are these golden bowls full of incense, the Bible talks about, which are the prayers of the saints. Your name is going up before the Father because Jesus is representing you right now. We can anybody think of somebody you'd rather have representing you? We have a great high priest. A high priest represents us to God and represents God to us. He's taking our needs, and then he's telling us what we need to do now. He will counsel us. He will guide us. He will show us our next step. How many have ever said, I can't take it anymore? Anybody ever say that? A couple people. How many of you have said that are here still? Guess what? You took it, didn't you? But it wasn't by your strength. It wasn't by your strength. He held you up. He brought you through. He's good at what he does. He represents us before the Father, and he represents the Father to you and I. He tells us what God has to say. He directs us in the way that we're supposed to go. Some of us aren't very good listeners. How many came this morning with a person who's not a very good listener? I almost got you on that one. Almost got you in trouble before lunch. Yeah. God's speaking. And I guess what this service is about is tuning your radio into his frequency. When you're wired, you can't hear. When you're you got all this noise. We're trying to get you quieted down just enough that we can get the frequency tuned in where you go, oh, so that's what you've been trying, God. That's what you've been trying to say to me in these days as I've been running frantically around. Our high priest gives us real answers to difficult circumstances. Several times this week, I have had issues that I've been dealing with. Thank God I'm getting better at this, because for the longest time, I would wrestle and wrestle and wrestle and then finally remember to pray. It's becoming more of a knee-jerk reaction to me. I hurt, I have a problem, I pray. And it has blown me away how quickly God has been answering the difficulties I've been going through. And if not immediately, a few minutes later, I think back and say, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome the way you work, dear God. And the Lord, he would respond and say, duh. Duh. Didn't he tell us enough times to cast our care on him? Fear not is the most often given command in all the scripture. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why are you worried this morning? Really, I mean, with God on the throne and all the promises that he's spoken over you, what in the world are you afraid of? Who has your goat this morning? Go get your goat back. Go get your goat back. Whatever that does mean, I have no idea who stole the first goat. I'm not sure if it had something to do with the Red Sox and trading Babe Ruth. I'm not sure. But get your goat back. Because God is on the throne and he's on your side. You have a bright future because he's on the throne. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even if some of the jerks who are giving me pain are going to live, Because God lives, I can face tomorrow. I will overcome every jerk. I will overcome every obstacle. Not because I'm, but because he's a great shepherd. You know, you think sheep get up in the morning and say, hey, you got your armor on? And I know we should wear armor, but hey, you got your slingshot? You know, we got to be ready in case the wolf comes. No, you don't. Why? Man, you got a Mondo-like ninja shepherd. And those wolves have everything to fear because of who you belong to. You just speak out his name, and the wolves tremble. Oh, I didn't know that was your shepherd. Friend, just let it sink in. Let it sink in. I'm okay. I'm all right. No weapon formed against me can prosper. By the end of the day, my enemies will be singing my praises, because that's what a great God I serve. I have a great high priest. He is the author of aha moments, epiphanies, and revelations. One of the things that frustrates the gourd out of me about people is they'll pray and then they'll give themselves credit for what just happened. Oh, I was praying, I was so desperate, but then all of a sudden I had this idea. Of course you did, you wooden brain. You prayed and then you had this great idea. You're so dumb you don't even know when you had a revelation. It's a revelation that you had a revelation. But God is the author of that little light bulb going off in your brain. Aha! You suddenly know what to do. And that happens to us continually. God is always turning lights on for us. Oh, for the day we turn our own porch light on and say it was God. Epiphanies and revelations, they come from the Lord. I have a high priest. Can you say that with me? I have a high priest. I have a high priest. Now say this with me. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now both of them. I have a high priest. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Woo-hoo! And that make you feel a little, all right, now I'm ready to go. I can go to school tomorrow. I can go to work tomorrow. I have a high priest. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. I don't go alone. Amen. He goes before me. He's got a path prepared. We're doing this together. He's my yoke partner. I don't go anywhere without him. He doesn't go anywhere without me. We can do this. Amen. You see how foolish it was for you to be afraid of your boss, for you to be afraid of your neighbor or whoever or whatever? God walks with you. God walks with you. And if you would just understand, if you would just accept that, yes, you're right, Pastor, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. I have a high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous. He didn't assign just, I know he keeps his angels watch over, but he didn't just assign an angel to you. And he walks with me and he talks with me. You gotta walk with a little more authority now. You are a yoke partner of God. And he goes with you wherever you go. I have total access to his love, his wisdom, his concern. I don't have to go through anybody else. You don't have to call the pastor up. You're welcome to if you want to, but you don't have to call the pastor up. You don't have to pray to some saint. As if God's busy right now, and you don't have to talk to some angel. You have total access to God Himself. You walk right in, and you talk. Now the devil will tell you you don't and you shouldn't, and maybe you get somebody to pray for you. This that, and getting other people to pray for you is a wonderful thing. But you have total access. When you walk into heaven, Jesus looks over and says, "Hey, Troy, my man, how you doing? Dana, Oh, my daughter, how you doing? He knows you by name. You have authority. You have standing. He loves and appreciates Billy Graham no more than he loves and appreciates you. You have standing. You are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have standing. Every prayer you pray is powerful. Now, the devil is working on you to put your weapons down. He's trying to dull you down, keep you from praying. Oh, it doesn't work, and it's not going to work out well. Oh, remember that time you prayed for left and you got right? Uh-huh. That ought to teach you. Don't you be doing any of that praying stuff anymore. You are powerful before the throne of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know people in high place. I've never gone gaga over people. I know some people, oh, I know so-and-so, and I know so-and-so. I know God. So, you know, anybody under that doesn't really impress me a whole lot. You know, there's God. You are a friend of God. And you have authority in heavenly places because of your association with Him. Friend, you ought to pray like a tiger. You ought to rip into your problems like a lion. How dare you be messing with me and my family? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who my high priest is? I got his card right here in my wallet. I can call him just like that. Don't make me call my high priest on you. You have standing with God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He wants to usher us into a divine sense of security. The Prince of Peace. God will allow trials in all of our lives. Have you noticed that? They're with a purpose and therefore an end. They're to mature us. They're to discipline us. They're to bring us to a good place. They are for our good every time. But He never wants you to be so wired and anxious. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. And Jesus wants to put His arm around you right now and love you and let you know that you're all right. He will see to it that you are all right. He will take care of any problem or need. Just lift it up before Him. As I often say, don't just cry. Cry out to Jesus. He will hear you and He will respond. Don't be twisting your brain with worry. Oh, what do I got? Pray. Invoke the name of Jesus and trust that what you need, you will have in the moment you need it. He will supply according to His riches in glory. Verse 15 tells us that we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. No, we have a high priest who sympathizes with exactly what we're going through. Do you know anybody that you can go to and let me go to the negative first. You know some people who, I shouldn't have said anything to them. You know, I went over there for a little bit of comfort and they just, they put a brick on my head. Cinder block. Let's go with cinder. I put a cinder block right on my head. So sorry I talked. But do you know people on the other side when you go and you talk to them, you come away feeling so much better. They cared. They understood. They empathized. Maybe they couldn't change the situation. But just talking to them, you can breathe now. Put that on steroids and you're getting close to who Jesus is. He came just to experience what we experience on a day-to-day basis. He did it right. And now He can help you and He can help me. Jesus can give us peace in the middle of any storm. In fact, that's probably why the storm comes, just to test this peace under different conditions. You like that guy with the crazy kind of new glue he's got, and he's got this tape that works, you know. There's water pouring out of an aquarium, and he puts this piece of tape on it. He cuts his boat in half, and then he tapes it, and says, oh, there's a tape, you know, really works. That's kind of what God's doing in your life. I'm going to cut your boat in half. No, come on! I bought it out. No, I want you to see this tape really works. Yeah, I don't need to see the tape works. Just leave my boat alone. And he's just showing us in season after season. And if we don't quite believe, you know what? He's so good. He brings people by who had their boat cut in half, and then they had a tape. It's still running, you know. And I lost this person that I love. I see what you're going through, but let me tell you, he's on the throne. He can do this for you. Hallelujah. He's able, amen. He's able. You've been through some stuff. He's able. Oh, he's able to do exceedingly abundant. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been in the ministry all my life, and I'm old. And he still is blowing me away by the way he does. He doesn't like to do things the same way twice. He just loves to blow my mind. Never does it the same, because he is just so awesome. And when we finally get it, you mean I don't have to be afraid? I told you 463 times in the Bible not to be afraid. You finally, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. People will do whatever they do. God's on your side. God's on your side. He can even take them out if he has to. But I've seen God bring enemies around his friends. I've seen God take desperate situations and bring miracles about and bring people together. I've seen him take estranged brothers and sisters, I mean literal siblings from the same parents, hadn't talked in 40 years together. I've seen him bring them together and heal divides that have lasted for decades. Our God is amazing, friends. David said, two things I know, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O God, are loving. Have you put those together in your mind just yet? He loves you desperately and he can do anything. Therefore, there's nothing that's happening today that will not result in good for your life. You got to enjoy the ride. I remember the first time I rode on a roller coaster. It was with my dad at Rainbow Gardens. You know how you can only be this tall, you'd have to be this tall or whatever, and you're standing on your tiptoes, you know, because you really want to do this thing. And I remember we got to where we were the next ones in line. They closed the gate, the last one was full, and you had this time to think about it. And I said, Dad, I don't think I want to do this. And Dad, in that compassionate, you know, heartfelt way dads do, I didn't wait in this line for 2 hours just so we could get this far so you could book out on me. Oh, you're going on this thing. And man, was I scared. I was hanging on to him. I was hanging on to the rail. And as soon as that thing stopped, I said, can we go again? And I'm telling you, that's what you're facing right now. Your Father is with you. And you're saying, God, I don't think I want to get on this one. And he's saying, hey, kid, everything up till now this is going to be the best experience of your life. Doesn't look like it. God, everybody else is crying. They're screaming. No. And here's the question. This is the question of the day. Do you trust me? I'm going to get on with you, and I'm not going to let you fall off. I'm not going to let anything get. Do you trust your Father? That's the question today. Well, I'm not getting on there without you. No, you don't have to. And that's what God is speaking into your life right now. You are not alone. You're not doing this because you want to do this. He's leading you. He's got you surrendered to him, and now he's taking you places you never thought you'd go. But it will be the thrill of your life to see how this one too ends up as blessing, and as grace. Oh, you're lucky. I didn't preach this morning, so I gave you twice as much. Don't be afraid. God's with you. He's with you. Jesus will soothe your wounds with his understanding, then counsel and direct you with his wisdom. All other paths lead to more trouble. Trust in God. He sees things we could never see on our own. He opens doors we couldn't budge by ourselves. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Trust him. Take the next step. I have no plan B. How about you? I have no plan. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's my whole plan. I have no plan B. I have no alternative. He sees things I can't see. Therefore, says the author, therefore, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hold firmly. Therefore, yes, let's do this. Let's finish this. Let's trust him. Quit pressing your face against the window. I want out of here. I can't handle this. I can't. Shut up. Sit down. Buckle up. And enjoy the ride. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I trust in nothing else. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. A past pastor of mine, Pastor Greep, he used to sing this song quite a bit. He'd just break out in song every once in a while. This is one of his favorites. Should all the hosts of hell march out, march in to stake a second claim, they'll all march out at the mention of his name. They'll all march out at the mention of his name. The enemy starts telling you you're not worthy. He starts telling you you're not going to make it. There's a name I will remember. There's a name I will confess. What's that name?
Jesus.
Jesus. His name is Jesus. The name of Jesus causes demons to tremble. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lack of faith renders this all murky. It gets us back into that ugly state of life. But the author says, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. I remember a couple weeks back, I went to the post office, couldn't get the mail because I didn't have the key. Looked in every pocket, went back through the SUV. No key, I can't get the mail. I drive up to the office. It's bothering me. What did I do with the key? It's supposed to be here. I look under the mat in the SUV. Oh, there's the key. I had the key, but I couldn't get the mail. You have the key to peace in your life. Maybe you can't find it today, but it's right here. And his name is Jesus. He's never left. He's never gone anywhere. And you just got to find it. Just spend a little bit of time. Maybe press in a little bit longer this morning. Oh, God, I need you. I need what he's saying this morning, God. I've been resisting it. The enemy is telling me it's not, but it is. I need it this morning. God, I believe, and God, I need you. Lord, show up someplace, sometime in this message before I go home. I need that peace that passes all understanding. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us, it's something I need to do. Let us, what are we supposed to do? Approach God's throne of grace with confidence. We're going to take turns one at a time walking confidently down the aisle today. Now we won't take time to do that. But, you know, think of your approach to God before this morning. How have you been approaching him? There's a great chance that your approach has been something like this. Hey, God, If you have a little bit of time, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be bothering you. I'm a jerk, and you're God, and you know, I'm. Anybody kind of, you know, it's where you were. This text says, this text gives you authority. You can quote this. God, I wouldn't do this on my own, but your word says I can come boldly before your throne. And what's his throne called? The throne of grace. The throne of grace. I mean, what a name.
It's not the judgment seat of, I'm going to march boldly before the judgment seat of Christ and get lightning bolted.
No, it's the throne of grace. You can come confidently before God for anything. He named it. I didn't name it. He named it. How many saw that in your Bible? It is actually called the throne of grace. I didn't make that up. It's the throne of grace. Wow. I can go right in and receive what I need. Grace is unmerited favor. So if it's the throne of grace, I'm here for what I didn't earn. I'm in the line where all of the failures stand. I'm in the line where all the people who don't measure up stand. I'm in the line of grace. You can give everybody else what they earn or deserve. I'm in the grace line. How about you? And God said, you can come here as often as you want. You come here boldly because it's the grace line. Somebody else paid for me to be here. Huh? Somebody else paying for dinner. You having lobster or you having grilled cheese? You know? It's already paid for. You might as well. We're just going to throw it out if you don't use it. Well, if you're going to throw the lobster out, got any butter sauce? You know? You're in the line. Jesus will infuse you with whatever you need to endure and overcome. Today, he's right here. He's got his syringe ready. What do you need a shot of? He's ready to go. He is here to meet your need. Recently, there was a young lady who told me that in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, she got pulled over. Did you know you could get pulled over if your license plate bulb burns out? Oh, I guess you've been there, huh? And so middle of the night, she calls her dad up. He came right over, she said. He was right there for me. You can count on your dad. Your heavenly father is much greater than your dad. Call on him at any hour, any time of the day. He will be there for you. Paul found Jesus faithful whenever he was running around preaching. And whenever he was confined in a prison, he said, man, it's amazing. Same Jesus. Meets all my needs. He's always showing up. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Has the devil had your number lately? Have you been feeling shaken, frightened, or stressed? I know a place where mercy flows. I know a place. I have found myself a hiding place. I have found myself a secret space. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He sees, he cares, he lifts us up. We all have stuff. We all have trouble. But you know what? We all have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And I can go there at any moment. I can go there at any time. He ever intercedes for you and for me. Therefore, hold firmly to this. Hold firmly to this. Jesus is on your side, and you will overcome. There's a chorus we used to sing back in the day. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart was our text last week. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. I believe that today is going to be a life-changing moment for you. Everything can be different if you will believe right now. If you will believe, Lord, I'm sorry for freaking out. I'm sorry for falling. I didn't have to. You had me this whole time, and you're ever working for my good. No weapon formed against me can prosper. The Bible says that he'll even make the heathen come down and bow down before you. The people that are giving you stress and problems right now, maybe you can't see it. God is going to reconcile them to you. And they're going to have to recognize that God is with you. You serve a great God. You may have come in torn, tattered, worn, but you can go out of here refreshed, revived, re-energized. Not because of a pep talk, but because of an encounter. Now, the chorus we've sung in the past, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me." I hope you've had that experience, but I have had it so many times. I'm frazzled, I'm a wreck. And I feel his presence, and the peace and the joy are amazing. Would you stand with me this morning?